All righty. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, ladies. It's Bobby Palmer here, of course, with Date Like a Grown-Up, the dating and relationship coach for women over 40. And welcome to session 4 of 4 of the Date Like a Grown-Up Bootcamp. I have a little surprise for you towards the end of the call, because I think that I just can't let you guys go. I can't let you go. I just have so much fun helping you with this part of your life, and there's a lot to it. There's a lot to learn, and there's a lot to do. So, so stick with me, of course, till the end of the call, so we can talk about this little surprise I have for you. You know, when you signed up for the boot camp, I promised to help you get out of first date hell, right, and into relationship heaven. And I really want to start tonight by just talking about some women who were like you. If you look in your support guide, which got to you a little late, and I apologize for that. But if you take a look at your page 2 of your support guide, these are just a few women that I've worked with who, when you talk about first date hell, 2 out of 3 of them were definitely in there. And one of them, Janine, hadn't been dating for many, many years. And I know that many of you that are here participating in boot camp, even though it was about dating, I know many of you here are like Janine, that you haven't dated for quite some time. So I just want to tell you that I want you to see that working on this stuff works. That Karen, for instance, when she was 65, she came to me and she was divorced and had children and grandchildren and had been online and had been dating and really was doing the first date thing. And it was mostly, her situation was she was mostly not finding men that she liked. She was just, dating and dating, and no man was living up to her expectations. So she came to me, and she did private coaching with me. And, when we did step 2, remember we talked about, getting past your list and looking at men with a different perspective? That was just so transformational for Karen because she had, her list was this tall, making this much money, well-traveled, witty repartee, she had all that stuff on her list. And she did the work and really dug into her feelings. And, boy, she was courageous. And I say that because she met somebody she really, really liked pretty early on, and he dumped her like a hot potato, and she bummed out and dusted herself off and got back online. And when she met Norman, who's in this picture with her, he was nowhere near the guy that was on her old list. He was not taller. He's just a little taller than her. He's bald. He was not well-traveled. He was a widower. So she was 65. He was 71. She was a widow, or he was a widower. And his wife didn't like to travel. He traveled a lot for business, but not personal. He wasn't doing that well in his business. He had had very successful businesses in the past, but at that time, his business wasn't doing that well. So it was all these things that, he didn't make a lot of money. He wasn't really tall. He wasn't very polished. He's from New York. He used to sing doo-wop. He's not like a professional businessman or I should say corporate guy that she wanted. So he was none of that, but she really learned how to use her nuggets. She really learned how to get out of a man, learn about him, about really important things about him. And she learned about how to open up. And she learned about what I'm going to help you with tonight, and that is sharing about herself. And as they got to know each other, sharing some of the bad things about herself, or not bad, but for instance, she's had breast cancer twice, and I'm not telling you anything I don't have permission to tell you. I do. She's had breast cancer twice, and she was really afraid to be with a man because of her scars and her surgery, and she had a mastectomy and so forth. So Karen learned a lot of skills. She really learned a lot. And she and Norman have been together about 2.5 years now. And they're traveling the world. And she's supported him in really getting his doo-wop group back together. So they're traveling the world, and he's singing doo-wop. And they are madly in love and having great sex. And she's having a really great life. So I want you to see an example. What you're learning here, when you apply it, when you practice it, when you use it, it will change your life. It will change your life. Sherry was a lot like Karen in that she had a lot of dates. But unlike Karen, her problem was she had so many men that were interested. And so she was like dating all these guys. She was kind of doing the first date thing a lot, but they always wanted to go out with her again. But it was always for the wrong reason. For the wrong reason. So even though she went out with them, maybe again, a lot of it was about sex. A lot of it was how, you know, like little and cute she was. She wasn't making connections. She wasn't making connections. And when she did her work on step two, it's funny because she looked at her list and she was like, I know that guy. Like, that guy has been in my life for many years. Joe, who's pictured with her, was somebody that lived in her town, which was relatively small. And he was around. She's known him for years. But she never thought of him as a potential mate, ever, ever. But when she started shifting the way that she looked at men, when she started approaching things from a perspective of what do I like about him and how do I feel with him, and she started using her skills to really get to know him, she fell madly in love with him. He was always in love with her. She never knew it. But they've been together about 3 years also, I think. 2 years, something like that. And they're planning their wedding, and they travel to Fiji together because he does work there. And I want to tell you one other thing that happened with Sherry that is spectacular. Her daughter, she had a teenage daughter who was really not very impressed with the fact that she was dating so many guys, you know. She and her daughter have just completely overhauled their relationship because her daughter, when she saw her choose Joe, gained respect for her and really loves this man. And that has brought Sherry and her daughter so much closer together, and the three of them are really, really happy together. So lastly is Janine. So Janine was single for, she was 46, never married. And she, as you can see, is not a small woman. She's a large woman and assumed no man would ever want her. So for those of you out there, whether it's your size or your age or your sagging boobs or, you know, whatever, there are so many men that like so many different types of women. And what I'm teaching you here about being open and being positive and taking responsibility for showing up with, you know, realistic expectations and being, you know, what we worked on in, you know, falling in love with yourself and having your nuggets and being confident in who you are as a woman, there's a man out there for you. So Janine, I actually performed Janine's wedding. Janine and Ron got married about 6 months ago. I performed their wedding. And what you're learning here is so much of what moved Janine toward this, because she was these ideas about just going out and sharing your nuggets and practicing and practicing and practicing, she was never doing any of that. And so the idea about talking about herself to men was very scary, but she did it. She did it. And then she eventually went online, and she met Ron. So doing this work that you're doing, you're really showing up for yourself. You're really showing up for yourself. And these are just a few examples. This stuff works. It works. And it will bring you that fabulous man that you're looking for, because now you're taking responsibility and you're learning new things And that kind of takes me to page 3, which is just a quick review of what you've done so far, of the accomplishments that you've had so far. So showing up every week, learning this, doing the exercises, asking me questions, which some of you have, which has been great, really practicing this and really, really giving it your focus and attention, which I'm trusting that you've all done. These are all the things just in a few weeks, it's just been a few weeks, that you've learned. Which, and first and foremost, of course, is that focusing on yourself is not only smart, but has to be your first step, right? Focus on yourself and your happiness, and that loving yourself and loving your life and loving yourself as a woman is great for you and great for your relationships in all your life, but in particular is a man magnet. It really attracts the right man that you want. And knowing yourself, loving yourself, but especially being able to express who you are, that real special woman that you are, that's how you're going to attract the right man. And, you know, that's very much about using your nuggets. And you've learned about the picking mistakes, right, that so many women make. And I know a lot of you have. I've got emails especially from women that are telling me about that looking for the buzz thing, like the chemistry thing is really big. So remember, you know, that 18-year-old is looking for the buzz. Chemistry is for 18-year-olds, right? So that's a common picking mistake. That thing that turns you on, get in touch with it, and remind yourself that that probably has nothing to do with whether he's going to make a good mate. And remember that another common picking mistake is that we expect men to act like women, right? So Alison Armstrong, who I gave you her website there, understandmen.com, she says men are not hairy women, which is brilliant. It's just so brilliant. And make sure that your list is, you know, you're picking based on what the grown-up you needs and wants, not what your 18-year-old wanted, and that you're not being picky, that you're not shooting a guy down because his shirt had, you know, was wrinkled, or because maybe he doesn't have a profession that you imagined yourself connecting with. And we've done a lot of work on, talked to you a lot about your king, right, about the grown-up man, and remembering that they're very, very different than the boys that you've dated or maybe been married to or been with in the past. These men are really looking for real intimacy. They need it. They need it desperately. And showing up in your feminine, at least not all the time, but having that part of you show up is so important to connecting to the good men that you're going to meet when you're dating. Okay, and really focusing on how you feel, right? Focusing on how you feel. And really making a choice. This is so much about you making a choice that dating is going to be fun for you, that you are going to do what you can do to show up in a really positive way, in an optimistic way, in a way that even if he's not the one, because remember, dating is just a lot of no's till you get to that one juicy yes. So it's your responsibility. You've got the skills now. You've got the knowledge now to start going out and consciously making it your choice to enjoy it and to bring out the best in everyone you meet and show up the best you can with every man. And that takes preparation. We talked about that last week and the week before, and we're going to talk about it more tonight. Okay, and preparation is you being here, right? I mean, it's what you're doing here. So we're going to do an exercise. We're going to do an exercise on page 4, and then I want to hear from a few of you. I'm telling you, there's a lot of women on this call, and I want to hear from you after this exercise if you know, it's something that you want to do. But here's the thing. I want to ask you, what have you used what have you used in your life, or what has just helped you make a shift in how you think? What are your, you know, what we call your ahas so far? What are things that have come up in boot camp? And not just, I'm not looking just for you to go, oh, boot camp's great, you know, I love it. No, I'm looking for you to look at yourself and really understand how far you've come just in 3 weeks. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes, and I want you to think about any way you're feeling differently, you're acting differently. Have you been on dates? Maybe they've been different for you. You've used your nuggets. You've been open-minded. You've looked for things you like. Anything that you've learned in boot camp so far that has positively affected how you date and relate to men and even how you feel about yourself. So I'm going to give you about 2 to 3 minutes. And if you need to review back to the previous page and just remind yourself, that's great. And remember too, ladies, if you want to share with me, go ahead and *6. I've already got Kelly there. Hey, Kelly, we'll get to you. *6. If something comes up that you really want to share. What if any are your ahas? Great. I'm getting some of you raising your hand. I love it. Thank you. Okay. One more minute. You're kind of congratulating yourself here, ladies. Because you've taken this all in. What have you learned? What have you done? Just 30 more seconds. All right. Kelly,
hi,
you're
Bobby.
Unmuted.
Kelly.
How are you doing? Hello, my dear.
I'm doing great. And I just had a great opportunity to kind of have a epiphany when I had an opportunity to meet a man a couple of weeks ago, and he was the circumstances where we spent some time around each other, and it was kind of a group, but he was helping me out. You know, I had Achilles tendon surgery about 5 months ago, and it's still a little sensitive. And he was giving me his arm, and he was putting some ice on my heel when it really was getting a little swollen. And, you know, and I thought, this would have kind of freaked me out before, but this is what I'm looking for, a man who will stand up and be sweet and, you know, help me out. And even so, when he kind of asked me out, I sort of waffled a little, but I noticed it immediately when I waffled, and I kind of corrected my course, and I said, sure. So, work in process for sure.
Nice. So have you gone out with him?
No, and the ball was in his court, but just that day was great for me. And,
yeah, it doesn't,
you know,
really... You know, Kelly, to be honest, I really didn't even need to ask that question because you're right. It's about the shift in how you're – I love that. It's really huge. And so how does it feel like just to be able to accept a man being nice to you?
It feels wonderful. And what I noticed is just how much I was drawn to him over the day, of him being sweet and accommodating, and still being a man, you know, and taking care of things. Yeah. And I thought, oh, wow.
Bless you. I can't tell you how much this is going to change your life, because this is the women I talked to you about, you know, Janine and Sherry, mm-hmm. and Karen. When Janine came to me, you know what she said to me, Kelly? She said, I need to meet a cowboy or a policeman. Right? That was her, like, her list was like she needed the macho, you know, like, man. And her, just like your shift that you're saying, wow, this guy's nice to me. Oh, that's what I want. It's the same kind of thing that as soon as she was able to kind of move to where you are, all of a sudden she saw nice men all around her, and that meant potential men all around her. And the man that she married is far from a cowboy or a policeman, but he's got a quiet confidence, and he treats her like a queen, and he's smart and lovely, and she never would have given him the time of day before.
You know, that
so
quiet confidence is very sexy.
Yes, it is, although a lot of times when we're dating, we're looking for the bold confidence, you know, that's what turns a lot of us on. So just remember that, because that takes time to come out sometimes. Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Kelly. That is really, really good work.
Thank you.
Yeah, good for you. Thanks. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, I'm going to move on. Thanks, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's make sure I press the right buttons here. Okay, we've got someone in 423 area code.
Hello, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
So I guess my aha has been that I know when I spoke the first time, I was kind of taken aback when I, you know, tried my hand at the online dating, and I'm having a lot of younger guys showing interest in me, and that kind of threw me for a loop. But since then, I've kind of, you know, like I shared what was going on with some really close girlfriends of mine, and I realized, you know, maybe these younger guys could be a potential match, and that I am a desirable woman and I've not lost it, you know, and that, you know, maybe it's okay and maybe I should look at this, and that maybe even if these guys are younger number-wise, they may be just as mature as I am, you know, in who they are and what they want out of life.
Hey, you just added, like, hundreds of thousands of more opportunity of more men to your list.
I know. And
do you know
it
what
just,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just a surprise to me. And, I've not actually been on a date with any of them yet, but I am talking, with a few of them, cause they don't live in the same place that I live in. So it would be they would have to travel to meet me. So,
Well, again, just like Kelly, I mean, congratulations, because the idea too is the more opportunity you have to date, obviously, the more likely you are going to meet someone. I mean, you know, it's not
right.
A numbers game. I hate when people say it's a numbers game, but it is a reality that you have to date in order to meet someone. You know, you just have to. So, you've just exponentially increased your possibilities.
I know, and it's surprising, it's exciting, but I'm also learning to be vulnerable, which is something that I, you know, like getting in touch with my feminine side, as the cliche goes, but I'm learning to do that and saying little tidbits about myself and kind of showing the more vulnerable side to me, and the rewards is paying off, but it's scary to take that step, but...
Tell me how. Can you give me a quick example of how it's paying off?
Well, just that they're showing compassion towards me, and realizing that I don't have to do everything by myself, and that they're not, I guess, I don't know, it may sound silly to say this, but they're not laughing at me, you know. I guess just being burned as when I was younger by guys and stuff, and they're not doing that. they're, you know, and they're telling me, you know, I mean, like one particular guy that was much younger than me, I come out and asked him, hey, you know, there's a big age difference here. Why are you pursuing me? And, you know, he's pursuing me. And, you know, he talked about how his parents, there was a huge age difference in his parents and how his parents were very happy and that the women his age he was not showing any interest in, and he thought I was very beautiful and very kind and very sweet, and he wanted to get to know me.
Oh, doesn't everyone want to hear that?
Yes, especially
wow.
When my love language is words of affirmation, yeah, he's
affirmation,
speaking my love
yeah.
language. So
that's great, and you know, I'm so happy for you because that vulnerability thing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I wanted an example of the payoff is because 99.9% of the time it's going to pay off really positively, and this gentleman also gave you a really wonderful reason why he may be attracted to older women. I mean, that's what he learned growing up.
Yes.
That's a positive thing. So it opened your mind a little bit, didn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And so, like I said, that's what kind of threw me for a loop. And then, you know, I got to talking to some friends of mine, and, you know, they're telling me, they're like, well, you know, they were shocked when they found out how old I was. So, and, you know, like I said, I tend to be young at heart, and I know what I want. And I have been in relationships with older men. And don't get me wrong, older men are great, but now that I'm older, I'm not so much interested in the older guys anymore. I want... You know, I mean, I know that sounds crazy,
yeah.
But...
Well, I want you... I'm sorry to cut you off because I know I need to move on, but here's the thing I want you to be sure of and all of you to hear. Remember that, you know, especially when we're at this age, age really can be... You know, there's old 40-year-olds and there's young 75-year-olds. So
absolutely.
I just want to be sure. Focus on your list. Focus on the feelings that you must have. And
mm-hmm.
like you're doing, just be open to age, whether it's higher or lower, okay?
Yeah.
Be open, like, you know, the whole spectrum. But, Chris, like, those two things, you know, being open to different types of men and practicing your nuggets, practicing, you know, just sort of being, like, expressing who you are and getting
mm-hmm.
that payback, that, like, positive response. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yay. Okay. Thanks, sweetie. I'm gonna mute you back. I love this, ladies. It's great. Okay. Last one, 701.
Yeah, that's me. This is Darcy.
Hey, Darcy.
I have to say I just loved that vulnerability video. That was just fantastic. And I shared it on Facebook. I had a number of people comment about that too. And I think the best thing that you have probably taught me is to focus on my feelings, and I think
mm-hmm.
I have a hard time not focusing on their needs, and so I've sort of switched my direction a little bit, which has probably helped me, but I still am having a hard time trusting myself, and I feel like I'm being overly judgmental, or maybe too optimistic. I don't know if I'm casting too wide of a net, or what, but but I have found that, you know, since working with you, I have kind of decided that the guys I was dating probably aren't the ones that I should be dating because I was looking for a clone of me, and I'm kind of the Energizer Bunny, and I was finding usually younger men who wanted to do all the fun things that I like to do.
Yeah,
it was tiring, and
it's exhausting.
I think I need more of a compliment than a competitor.
Yes. If that's all that you learned, that will change your life. I'm so serious. You know, that's the same thing. That's the Janine and Ron thing, okay? Janine is a prosecutor and prosecutes horrible, terrible crimes. And she was thinking, that's why she's thinking, I need a policeman, you know, I need somebody strong like me, and, you know. And if she married herself, they would implode. I mean, they would just exhaust each other to death. And so that quiet confidence that Ron has is such a wonderful compliment, just like you said. Same thing with Karen. She wanted this, like, shiny, like, successful corporate guy. I mean, she needed a compliment to herself, not herself with a penis. So keep that when you talk about trusting yourself. What's that?
You know, my best friend's mom said, Darcy, you don't want to be a nurse or a purse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's a good old saying.
Both
yeah. But you want someone to who's going to make you feel the way that you need to feel. And it's not necessarily opposites attract. I'm not saying that. But somebody who does compliment you is oftentimes going to be that, because you need those feelings, because it just could be something, you know, it's something missing in your life and you're looking for someone to fill that. And a lot of times that's someone who's complimentary, not the same. So it's one thing to share, and the last thing I'll say is, you know, it's one thing to share activities, but that does not make it, that does not give you a real indication of a good partnership. So remember that if you enjoy doing certain things and your guy doesn't, you could always do it with your girlfriends, because that's what you're doing anyway. So I don't usually put that on the top of the list of what to look for when someone's looking for a mate. Mm-hmm. And remember, you know, when I married my husband, like, he was all into the ocean and boating, and I was, like, so not into it. And 8 years later, we bought a boat, and I'm really digging it. Same thing with Karen and Norman. Like, he wasn't into traveling at all. And, you know, they're in Barcelona right now. So people can get it, you know, change their interests too. But they don't change, you know, they don't change who they are and how they show up in a relationship. They don't really change that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot.
But congratulations. I really want to honor the fact that you're having this, like, internal dialogue and working these things out. I mean, that's the work, ladies, is it's not boom overnight. We've had 4 weeks together, and I've given you a ton of information that I hope has been incredibly helpful. But, you know, the reality is it's about, and we're going to work on this tonight, moving forward, having the awareness of what I taught you and what you've been working on and applying it to your life, and just like Kelly, just like Chris, just like Darcy, going, oh, yeah, I noticed that, and that's something that, you know, I can shift, I can change, it'll really make a positive impact. And it's hard to do. We want to be right all the time, right? People want to be right. It's hard to say, well, I don't think I've been doing that right, but, hey, that Bobby, that she might have an idea. I'll try that. So, awesome. And I'm glad you like that video, by the way. Ladies, if you haven't seen that vulnerability video by Brené Brown, spectacular.
It was great. I think I'm a boy,
yeah,
and this is my problem.
Yeah.
I'm also a lawyer, and it just seems like I have a hard time with the vulnerability feminine thing. And then I tend to find boyfriends instead of significant others.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to work further. You know, there's more work to do, for sure. But you're on a really – do you feel like you're on a good path?
Yeah, kind of. Improving.
Okay. Improving. Okay. Okay. Well, it's been 3 weeks. Just remember that. Remember I talked about, like, you know, forgiving your past mistakes and restarting your clock? Like, you've only been doing this a new way for a very short period of time. So be kind to yourself. And congratulate yourself for realizing that you're not looking for yourself anymore. Big start.
Yeah.
Okay? And keep watching that video. You could watch it like 20 times.
Yeah, maybe
really.
I will.
It's big. All right. Thanks, Darcy. I'm so happy. Thank you, ladies, for sharing and participating and really good stuff. Really, really, really good stuff. Okay, so let's go ahead and get to it. Let's go ahead and take a look at what we have to, going forward. So when we left off last week, remember that we were talking about the three keys, you know, what I call the three keys to getting the next date and the next date and the next date. And we're talking about that because, you know, remember we reviewed the idea of making outstanding first impression, right? Like really starting from even the first phone call or the first email where you guys decide to meet, letting him know that you're excited, that you're interested. I just got off a call. I did a call for Jonathan Astley, who I know some of you probably know. I did a call for his insider group just before our call. And I was talking about this piece of it, and he was like, oh, my God, if a woman would do that to me, if a woman would say to me, I'm really excited for our date next week, she said, first of all, I would be shocked because no one ever does that. And second of all, I would be so interested in her. Because he's like, I feel like I'm showing the excitement. I'm like asking her out. I'm showing the excitement. I'm, you know, making the plans. And I always feel like with her, it's a maybe. I never feel the enthusiasm. And I don't feel like she's as in it as I am. So I really, really want to encourage you and remind you about that idea of helping him anticipate a good time and showing your interest. Okay, so, and then connect in a woman-to-man way. We talked about that, right? Talked about, like, really showing up in, you know, with your feminine, you know, leading with your feminine and not being a colleague, but being a woman, meeting a man who's looking for intimacy and connection and remembering that that's what he wants. That's your king, your grown-up man. That's what he's looking for. And so tonight, we're going to work on being memorable. We're going to talk about being memorable. Because the men that you're meeting have, at least the ones that you want to meet, they have a full life. They're probably busy. And most men look at dating really differently than we do. And I hope that you all, can do it more like men. And that is sorry, I don't know what that background was. Most men, when they go on dates, they're looking to have a good time. I mean, these are men, even men that really want to have a relationship, they're looking for a good time. And they're just saying, I hope she's nice. I hope it's fun. I hope, right? Whereas a lot of women, we go like, I hope he's the one, I hope he's the one, I hope he's the one. So remember that he's going thinking, you know, I hope it's a great time. In order for him to want to see you again, ask you out again, especially, again, the men that you want, men that are probably have a lot of opportunity for dates, because unfortunately when they get older, they have the advantage. And also the men that have full life. So they would rather be alone and single than be with the wrong woman. You need to stand out. You need to show up, and you need to really make yourself memorable. Somebody that he's like, oh, I really need to see her again. I want to spend time with her. And so that's what we're going to work on tonight. We're going to work on the idea, you know, think about it. You have like, you know, an hour, maybe a little, maybe 2 hours. I don't want your first dates to go past 2 hours. And if you want to ask me about that, you can ask me when we do Q&A. But you've only got an hour or so to really get to know one another and really make an impression with a man that you're interested in, enough for him to say at the end of your date, I really want to do this again and ask you out again. Like, isn't that like the ideal? Or at least drive home thinking, I can't wait to call, you know, I'm going to be cool, but I'm going to call her tomorrow or the next day and make a date. So on page 6 of your support guide, let's talk about what you need to do to make yourself memorable. And remember, this isn't about being manipulative. This isn't about being, you know, tricky or anything like this. It all comes from being yourself. It all comes from knowing yourself, knowing how to express yourself, and just coming with a positive attitude, and then a few skills that I'm going to teach you. So the first part of being memorable is focusing on him, but not too much. Focusing on him, but not too much, and really getting your shiny stuff out. And by that I mean sticking to the good stuff. Sticking to the good stuff on your dates. It's not necessarily about not talking about any of the scary topics. It's more about really putting your best foot forward, right? So you want him to learn things about you, but you want them to be the shiny things. And if he's the right guy, and by shiny, by the way, those are the things that you like about yourself. Those are the things. Remember in the exercise that you did during our first session, what you love about yourself, what you love about your life, what you care about deeply. Those are things about yourself that you want him to appreciate and value. So those are the shiny things. So if he's the right guy, he's going to really dig you and want to see you again and want to know more. And if it's the wrong guy, he won't. And that's exactly what you want. Exactly what you want. So never be afraid to share nuggets if they're things that are really important to you and they're essential, right? Like if a guy doesn't get it, you're never going to be able to feel the way you need to feel with him. Because if he doesn't dig it, that's okay. That's the purpose of dating. Purpose of dating is to learn about each other. So stick to the good stuff. Don't bond on the bad stuff. That's especially true of the first date. Okay? I used to do that all the time, and a lot of people do that. A lot of people, what we do is a lot of what we have in common is negative. So I'll give you an example. So how's online dating going for you? The only place that could go is to a negative place because you're here. You're on that date, right? So obviously online dating hasn't gone very well, right? Or, you know, the question about, so tell me about, you know, your last, you know, what happened to your marriage? Those are kind of things that we tend to bring up at the beginning of a date. But, and I'm going to tell you exactly how to move away from those and deflect those in just a few minutes. But for now, I want you to remember your nuggets. They're really, really important for you to get your shiny stuff out. And I want to tell you why it's so important not to share the negative or scary stuff too soon. And not to let him share it either, which I'm going to teach you how to do. So there's an exercise I have for you. So imagine that you have a basket. Imagine like a bushel basket, right? In front of you. You've got your arms around this basket. As you get to know someone, whether it's a man on a date or somebody at work, anybody new, as you get to know someone, you take the pieces of information that you learn about them and you put it into your basket, right? So as you get to know your date, let's say he sounded nice on the phone, he showed up on time, you like his shoes, you know, maybe he has a nice smile. And that's like what you know. Now throw into that basket that he has a daughter who's 35 and lives with him because she's had a drug abuse problem. Right? That is probably going to be a pretty major turnoff. Like what? Like drama? That's not what I've signed. You know, I'm not getting into that. Now, that's all you know on the first date, like at the beginning of the first date, right? Those few things I mentioned are pretty much what you know. Maybe he's nice to the waitress, but you don't know much. Now, imagine you're on your third date. And in that basket, you have that he really loves his job because it's a really helping profession. You have that he loves to travel and his dream is to go to the same places you want to go to because of the same reasons. Throw into the basket that he listens, he's a good listener, that he asks you questions about yourself and he seems to really think you're special. And he shows up for you. Put all that into the basket and then put that crappy daughter problem into the basket. Do you see how the perspective can be so different? It can be so different. that is really, really important in terms of making yourself memorable, not throwing anything into his basket too early. Now, I'm not talking about being secretive. I'm not talking about, like, if you've got something going on in your life that's going to affect your dating with him, that's something maybe you need to bring out. But you don't need to talk about your problems with your children. You don't need to talk about your crappy divorce. You don't need to talk about how online dating sucks. You don't need to talk about how you have financial problems and you're digging yourself out of a hole. None of that. Fill his basket with your shiny stuff. And the time will be right. If he's a guy that's a good potential for you, there will be a right time to share what you are sharing, what you need to share with him. And in just a couple minutes, I'm actually going to talk to Susie, and she's going to walk through a challenge that she has in her life, and we're going to talk about how to share it and when to share it. So, by the way, Susie, if you're there, I hope you're here, go ahead and star six me so I can get you set up. Go ahead and star six me because she was gracious enough to volunteer having this conversation. So, Susie, star six me. So, anyway, that's the thing about sharing your shiny stuff. And it's what I call baggage handling. It's what I call baggage handling. We all have stuff. I mean, especially at our ages, we all have stuff. We all have all those things that, you know, some or all of those things I just mentioned in our past or in our present. But the idea is you don't want to put that out there instantly or too early and not have that perspective and have him filled up with all the other good stuff. Okay? Okay? So that's what I talk about. Get your shiny stuff out. Use your nuggets. Stick to the good stuff. Handle your baggage. It's a really important part. And again, I'm not talking about manipulating or lying. I'm not talking about being secretive. I'm just talking about doing this in a way that creates the best possible outcome for both of you. Okay? So let's talk about the other thing. Let's talk about, and Susie, I think maybe Susie may not be here yet. So, okay. So let's talk about managing the conversation. This is like a biggie, okay? So the question is, like, how do you get your shiny stuff out? How do you stay positive when you're with a guy who wants to talk about all this stuff, right? Because I know that all of you have had experiences where within 10 minutes of your date, he's talking about his ex, or he's talking about his, you know, all the women that, you know, he's met online that have, you know, lied to him or, you know, whatever. So what I want you to do is I want you to learn the skill of managing the conversation and mastering that, because first date conversation can be really painful, right? We're going to talk about, I want you to know how to, like, really gracefully handle the hard questions, which is a very important part of staying out of, you know, of baggage handling, okay? So what are you going to do in terms of managing the conversation? First of all, a lot of you already have this skill. A lot of you do this in your business, and you're just not applying it to this part of your life. So I want you to just give that some thought about managing the conversation. Maybe it's with your clients, with your patients, with your, you know, your customers, with your business partners. I mean, you've learned to manage conversations to some degree. Here's how you do it on a date. Number one, you want to use your because and your why. So remember we talked about because, using the word because to transition from, it's how you get your nuggets and your shiny stuff out, right? You're going to say, you know, I love my job because. Not I'm an architect or an engineer or a teacher for a living, but I'm a teacher for a living and I love it because those children just fire me up. And the idea that I'm helping, like, create a wonderful future for them just is something I just feel compelled to do, right? So you're going to use your becauses. And your whys are the opposite of because. Your why is to help you get his because out. So when he says to you, here's what I do for a living, ask him why he likes it. Why do you like it? Why do you do it? Really? You go to Hawaii every year? Why? You know, why? What do you love about it? What's your favorite part about it? Oh, you've only lived here for, you know, 6 years? Why did you move here? What do you like about it? So do you see, it's keeping things positive, and it also helps you really learn some important things about them, right? You don't want to be like a six-year-old going, why? But you want to use your why to help pull out conversation if he's not talking. If he is talking and he's talking too much, there's a couple things that you can do. You don't want to sit there, just like I said previously, focus on him but not too much. Probably all of you have had the situation where you've been on a date and the man just talked endlessly about himself, which, by the way, Jonathan just on my call with him mentioned that he goes on dates and women talk endlessly about their careers. You all know not to do that anymore, right? Right? Yes. So what you want to do, if a man's going on endlessly, I literally want you to interrupt him if you need to, right? So you want to interrupt him if you need to, and know this. This is really important, ladies. A lot of men talk endlessly because they're so happy to be in the presence of a woman who seems open and real and friendly, that they take advantage of the opportunity. They're taking advantage of the opportunity. I want to say that again. They're taking advantage of the opportunity because they don't, unlike us, have the opportunity to yap to other people. We can do it to our girlfriends. We have the opportunity, most of us a lot, to just yammer and talk and share and laugh and, you know, tell our friends what's going on in their life. And men don't have that. Men don't bond that way. So in kindness, if you have a man that's going on, I want you to remember what I said. And that if you, even if you have to interrupt him, he may thank you. Because when a man talks too much about himself and realizes that he did, chances are you're never going to hear from him for two reasons. One of two reasons. Number one, he's embarrassed. He may be just enveloping your feminine energy and just lose himself in it. And if he's driving home, he's going to be embarrassed. Another reason is he knows nothing about you. All he knows is you're a good listener. And the guy that calls you again after you've listened to him talk all the time is a guy that just wants a woman to listen to him talk all the time. If he calls you again and you haven't shared anything, that's the only thing he knows about you. So don't let him talk too much, even if you have to be rude and interrupt him and say, you know, Bob, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, I have something to share on that topic. Would you like to hear about it? Really? Or, you know, Bob, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm just wondering if it's really bad and he's just not stopping, I'm just wondering if you'd like to know anything about me. So I have some things I'd love to share with you. Do it. If you have to, do it. Okay? Manage the conversation. Use your becauses and whys. And here's how you do your baggage handling. If you get a question, you know, there's always those questions that are scary to us or bug us. Like, you know, I think I mentioned in my email, the question I got constantly was, why aren't you married? Why aren't you married? Why aren't you married? Why haven't you ever been married? You're 45. Why aren't you married? And I would hear it as, what's wrong with you? But men just don't really necessarily mean that. They just really want the information. And when you see a man who's 50 years old, who's, well, even say 40 years old and never been married, truth is, almost every woman I've ever talked to, they have the same question, why have they never been married? So don't be mad at them for asking. We just don't ask. They ask. So those kind of questions like, why does your daughter still live? Well, no, let's not do that yet. Like, how's online dating been for you? Or tell me about your divorce. Or why, I see you've been married twice. Like, what's that about? with questions that are like icky, that are not that don't have a positive response really, and none of his business yet, here's how you handle those. You have what I call prepared statements. For the questions that you know are coming and you don't want to answer fully, like in any detail, have prepared statements. Prepared statements are just very simple responses to these questions that tell the truth, but set your boundaries. Set your boundaries. I work with women a lot on boundaries. We don't have time to do it during this course. But boundaries are important. And they attract a good man. When a good man sees you taking care of yourself, he's going to respect that. And when a man who isn't in it for you, but just in it for himself, he's not going to want anything to do with it, which is perfect. So your prepared statement goes something like this. And if you want me, when we get to Q&A at the end, if you have these questions that guys ask you all the time and you want me to help you with prepared statements, I can do that either at the end today or in the surprise coaching that I'm going to tell you about. So mine was, my life just hasn't taken me there yet, but I'm really excited and cannot wait till it happens. What about you? What haven't you done yet that's really exciting for you or to you? My life just hasn't taken me there yet, but I'm excited for when it happens. And then I ask him, what are you excited about? That's my prepared statement for that stupid question that guys don't realize is stupid. Make sense? So what you're doing is you're telling the truth, and then you're telling him something positive about it, and you're showing him you're going to move on. And if he asks you, well, wait, I want to know more, you can say, you know what? There's a lot, it's a long story, and I hope that we get to know each other well enough for the time to be right to share it with you. I hope that we get to know each other well enough for the time to be right for me to share it with you. That's it. You don't have to go, that's none of your business. You don't have to give a flip response, which is a turnoff. If he asks you, you know, what happened with your divorce, just say, I've been divorced X amount of years, and it was difficult, but I got so many positive lessons out of it, ultimately, and I'm really excited and looking forward to my next relationship. Or I'm really excited and looking forward to getting married again, if that's what you want. Okay? Prepared statement. I love those, by the way. So Susie's here, and I'm going to unmute you. Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. So you and I had talked via email a little bit during the week, and you're generous and gracious enough just to walk through this exercise with me really quickly. And I want you all to know that for any of you who want to, you know, who are kind enough and I think smart enough to let me coach you, that there are boundaries, and I respect them. So Susie and I just kind of talked about what was comfortable for her, and the bottom line is that there's some medical issue in her life that does affect her life currently. And Susie, you stop me any time that I get it wrong or you're not comfortable with what I'm sharing. Okay.
Okay.
So am I right so far?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, I haven't said much. So it's just a medical condition, and it's something that, you know, is reality. I mean, I have multiple sclerosis. I think most of you, a lot of you, if you've heard me talk, you know that. I mean, it's something that is a reality in life. And Susie, this is a reality in her daily life. And understandably and correctly, figures a man needs to know about it, right? Man needs to know about it. And at what point do you share it, and how do you share it? Is that kind of what I can help you with?
I mean, sure. Basically, I mean, I could just say it, that it's basically, it's like I have OCD. So, yeah.
Good for you.
It's something that people that somebody that's with me actually needs to know, because sometimes it does, sometimes I can act very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thank you for that. Really. Because there's women on the call that relate, that absolutely have something going on with themselves. So that's really, really nice of you. So in terms of things like that, because it is something in your life and it is something that shows up, I think it is something that you need to share relatively quickly. Definitely not on the first date, unless something happens on the first date and it shows up. And we can, what I'm going to share with you, you could then share on a first date, but I would never share on the first date. I didn't meet men and go, hi, my name is Bobby, I have MS, you know. You want to fill his basket, but my feeling is, and this is kind of a, from my personal experience, and I don't think there's like a science to this. So I want you all to sort of take this and apply it in a way that works for you in your life. My feeling is that generally by the third date, the two of you are both deciding whether you're potential partner material. Does that sound right to you in your life, Susie?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, we're grown-ups, you know. And by the way, you're using your nuggets. And you're showing up, you know, open, and you're really getting to know one another. So by the third date, you're kind of thinking, he's thinking by the third date, by the way, yes, she's somebody I want to have sex with, or no. And by that, I don't mean that's all he's thinking. But he's getting past his, I'm really enjoying being with her, and now he's like, I'm enjoying being with her, and I want to have sex with her, like, right now. Okay, let's keep going. And we're going, wow, he could be a husband. He might be a husband here. So here's how I recommend that you share something like this, because you do want to handle your baggage, so to speak, but it's something that someone needs to know. Just like you share your nuggets and you're sharing about yourself, you just want to say, you know, Bob, there's something about me that I'd like you to know. There's something about me that I'd like you to know. And in your case, you can say, I have OCD. And what that looks like or what that means is, and just in a very factual way and a very succinct way, you tell them how it shows up in your life. What that means is sometimes I can be a little kooky. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to make fun of it, but you don't want to be incredibly, you know, scary and serious either, because you live fine with it. You live with it. So you just want to say, this is how it shows up in my life. And I want you to know this because I'm really enjoying getting to know you. I want you to know this because I'm really enjoying getting to know you. And or you could say that as being, Bob, there's something I want you to know about myself because I'm really enjoying getting to know you, and I think you should know this. You know, I have OCD. Here's how it shows up in my life. And if you have any questions about it, I'm happy to answer. But I wanted you to know it because I like you. That's it.
Okay, that sounds fine.
That easy?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, what happened with me is Larry went home and researched MS because he cared about me. And he really wanted to know. And we never really talked about it again. Until I had my first symptom around him. And he, like, knew all about it because he had researched it, right? So he had made the decision, yeah, I'm in. And by the way, I have a lot of women I know with herpes, a lot of women unfortunately, which, by the way, ladies, just because you can't get pregnant, protection, please. There's like an epidemic with women over 50 getting herpes because of that. I have, unfortunately, a lot of women I work with that have had cancer, who've had mastectomies, who have scars, who have, you know, those kind of things. And we're going to talk about that, by the way, Thursday night on our Grown Up Girls Night Out. We have stuff. We have diseases. We have crazy kids. My husband had a bankruptcy a few years before I met him. And if I had learned that on the first date, I may not have gone out with him again. So that's kind of a script. So it does work for you, huh? It's really? Have you shared this with men before? What's been your experience?
I shared it with my partner. He was actually okay with it, but I don't think he understood what it actually meant until he experienced it. So, but he was, yeah, it was fine.
Okay. Well, I really want you to be I want you to be honest and to be as specific as possible in that part of here's what it looks like. So you really want to help the man understand how it shows up in real life. Not like the worst case of it. You know, like I didn't like to say to my husband, yeah, I was in the hospital for, 10 days and couldn't walk. Because that was like the worst of it. But, educate him. And by saying to him, if you have any questions, I'm really happy to answer. That's a really important piece of this. So that if he says, well, yeah, can you tell me more about it? Then you have the opportunity to share. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you. I really honor you for sharing that, Susie, because I know, most of you have something. Most of you have something. So let's go ahead and move on to, and you know what, if anybody has like a burning question, go ahead and star 6 me. That's applicable to what I'm talking about right here, okay? Otherwise, go ahead and wait for Q&A. All right. On page 7 of the support guide, let's talk about leave him wanting more. Remember, you're wanting to be memorable, right? And so the idea, this is why I say don't have a 3-hour date. They hardly ever, ever, ever work out. When I hear my clients say, oh, my God, it was the most amazing date, and it lasted hours and hours, and we talked and talked, oh, don't do that. It creates unrealistic expectations. It creates an unrealistic connection too fast. And it absolutely, a lot of times you're going to have that and you're not going to hear from the guy again. You're not going to hear from him. It's not about mystery, ladies. It's just about the idea that he wants to sort of peel you like an onion. Do you know? You want to give him something to look forward to. And not feel like he knows everything about you. So it's really important to leave him wanting more. It's really important to, when he asks you a question and it's a big, big thing, to use what I told you. Say, you know what, I love telling that story, and there's a lot of really juicy detail to it. But I think, let's focus on just kind of getting to know each other. And I hope that I get to tell you that story again in the future. Okay? Don't, like, lie about, oh, I have a date, a date with a girlfriend, I have to go. Don't do that to cut things off. But just when you're planning a date, just, let him know that, let's meet for coffee. And what Larry said to me when we met is, let's meet for coffee, and if I don't gross you out, let's have lunch. That's what he said. Let's meet for coffee, and if I don't gross you out, let's have lunch. So just, let him know. I'm really looking forward to meeting you, Bob. For now, for just the first time to meet you, I really prefer just to have coffee for an hour or so. I hope that works for you. Write that down, ladies. I hope that works for you. That's like, here's my deal. Here's what I need. I'm expressing what I need. I'm doing it. And I just gave you a formula, by the way, to ask for what you need. I have to bring this out. I said, I'm really looking forward to meeting you. Say something positive. What I prefer is to have coffee and meet for an hour or so. I hope that works for you. Just for the first date, I hope that works for you. So say something positive. Be very, very specific about what you need, what will make you happy. You could say, it really works for me best when I do it this way. And I hope that works for you is a way to take away the demand of it and just say, and just sort of get his buy-in. Just get his buy-in. And if he's a good guy, he'll be like, yeah, I respect that. If he's a man that respects women's boundaries and respects that women take care of themselves that way, he's going to be all about, heck yeah, we're going to do it that way. Heck yeah. Okay, before I get to body language, I have a quick question. Hi, I've unmuted you, 352. You have a question about what we're working on?
Hi. Oops. Can you hear me?
I can. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Linda.
Hi there.
Hi. Just a second.
What's your question?
I had you on speaker, and it's always a pain because then you anyway. The reason why I star sixed is because you were talking about the physical issue, and
mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask a question about that. And mm-hmm. I have osteoarthritis, and it shows up with back pain and all kinds of stuff. I've been under physical therapy. And, you know, I was involved in another course, and the lady who was running that course said, put it right out there. Put it on your online profile. You know.
Oh, I disagree.
What?
Oh, I so disagree. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's why I called in, because
hell no.
You know, okay, and may I
sorry.
Ask why?
Yes, please do. I'm sorry. I sometimes I do that. And again, I qualified this by saying it's not a science. I'm just giving you my experience with, you know, working with hundreds of women. It's the bushel basket. It's the bushel basket, right? So this guy knows like nothing about you except maybe two or three paragraphs that represent your entire being, and you throw that in, and what would compel him to contact you? What would
mm-hmm.
compel him to pick you out of thousands and thousands of women
mm-hmm.
when that's all
well,
he knows about you?
Her rationale was, you know, if they're not going to accept you, I am not disagreeing.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be like I get.
I mean, you're not going to just say, well, this is, you know, you're going to throw it in the middle of all the other good things.
Yeah.
But
do it early.
I'm leaning toward what, you know, I'm not arguing or anything like that. I'm just telling you that this person felt that, you know, if they're not going to want you because of that very thing, then they're not the right person for you. That was her rationale.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with. I do agree with that. And again, I apologize for like. I didn't mean to be jumping on you. I'm like. I don't hear things very often that I just like really disagree with. I agree with her that if that's not going to. I like to think of it as if that doesn't work in their life, then they're not right for you. But I
mm-hmm.
do. But I do think that perspective. That, again, that bushel basket, you know, idea of let him know a little bit about you first has to be done, or else that's all he's judging. You know, that's like one quarter of what he's judging you on, and that
mm-hmm.
would be such a shame,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, and here's the other thing, too, the other side of it that I do agree with. It is important to do it early on. I mean, I told Larry, I think, on our third date, I mean, it is something, if it's something that's going to affect his life, then you can't, like, tell it, you know, right after you sleep with him for the first time. So
right.
you do need to be fair. So thank you for bringing that up, because it's a different way to look at it, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing firm. Not that you were arguing with me, but I really strongly believe that should, nothing like that should be on your profile.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's why I called in, because I think I'm going to take it out of my profile. I kind of put a positive spin to it, but
mm-hmm.
now that I think about it, I don't want millions of men looking at that part of my life. That's kind of none of their
no.
business.
No,
right?
It's not
and
their business.
So I'm probably going to go in and change my profile because of this conversation we just had. Thank you very much.
Please, and... Please, you're so welcome. Do that tonight. And by the way, thank you also for the positive spin thing. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Thank you so much for that. Yes, it's true. When you talk about, you know, there's something I want you to know because I like you and I think you should know this. When you say, you know, I have this, like for me, I have MS. I also did say that it was a wonderful gift, that my diagnosis was a wonderful gift. And it's actually been, there's been, you know, I pulled out the positive. And so that is, I think, an important thing to make part of your sort of what you're sharing with him. Okay? That was really good. Thank you so much for doing that. We have somebody in the queue, Anne. If you, Anne, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and then if we just we're running a little late, but I want to. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm great. Can you kind of just get to your question?
Sure. My question is, in long distance dating, if someone like this happened to me, I had two different guys come in quite a distance to meet me here in New York, and I really didn't feel right because they were, you know, that they'd be short dates because they were making such an effort to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you deal with, I mean, I totally buy into your concept, leaving him wanting more, but like one guy came in from Baltimore to New York and the other one came in from, you know, 2 hours in Philadelphia. And,
yeah, that's a good
question. I just didn't feel like they're making such an effort. How could I just be with, you know, for a short period of time?
Yeah, that's a good question, Anne. I understand it. I when I was dating where I live, a lot of the guys I dated were from a certain part of town, which made them have to schlep through traffic, like horrible traffic, for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to set yourself
up for a good...
It
was much too soon.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to set yourself up to create a good foundation for a potential relationship, then I think it still holds true. And it doesn't have to, you know, it could be 2 hours. I mean, that's a lot of time for first date. And...
Yep.
And the only thing I could say is when I met these guys, sometimes I went, you know, we met halfway, right? So I was willing to do that at the beginning. But there's, if you're going to have a relationship with these guys, it's going to be an ongoing thing, sort of the logistics thing. So I still would keep it to an hour or two. And I would tell them in advance so they know. And if they're still willing to come, which they should be because you're fabulous, then bring it on.
Okay.
But telling them in advance is good, so they're not schlepping for 2 hours and then you're like, oh, I got to go. Sorry.
Right.
And you could just tell them that you have a commitment. Like, you know, I just want you to know I have a commitment at, you know, whatever, 7 o'clock or whatever. So, we'll have, you know, up to a couple hours if we like each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it was.
Did that answer your question?
Like, yeah, it was way too much. Okay, 6-hour dates, it was way too much, yeah.
No, never works. Like
right.
1 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many women I've talked to that have been like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we had such a long day, la la la. And then a week later she's telling me she hasn't heard from him since. Or maybe he texts a little bit after and that's it.
Okay,
you've all
thanks.
Had that, I bet. Thank you, Anne. Good, really good question. Thanks, sweetie. I'm glad you're here. Okay. Good questions, ladies. Really, really good. All right, let's go on to use your body. So here's the thing. I mean, we could do hours and hours on body language, but I want to give you some really great, simple things that you can do when you're attracted to a man and you want to be memorable. Touch him. Touch him. And here is a really simple way to do it that is non-threatening to either one of you, but really sends a message. So there's a safe spot, and a safe spot is below the elbow. That's it. It's like a secret, kind of. So in other words, there's actually studies that show when you touch somebody when they're talking about something happy, they relate happiness to you. So think about it. When you're telling a girlfriend something really amazing and she hugs you, isn't that just like the greatest feeling? So it just like amps up the amazingness. So I want to give you just a simple tip for using your body. And that is find, if you're into him, I want you to find a way to touch him. And again, it's just like reaching over and like touching his wrist when he's talking. And just with that, oh, I know, yeah, I know about that. Or, oh, that's so funny. Or, oh, wait, I have something to share about that too. It just could be something he's sharing with you and you just touch him, you know, on the forearm, and you just say, wow, thanks for telling me that. For a second, like 2 seconds, just touch him below the elbow. And by the way, the old stuff still works. And by old stuff, I mean touching your hair. I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is. Back in the caveman days, back in the early, early days, let me rephrase that. Studies show that men are attracted, for those of you that have taken my manometer test, and if you haven't, it's on my homepage and my website. Studies show that men are attracted to women based on how they perceive their ability to bear children. And even if they're 65 years old and have no interest, just nature makes men attracted to women who have certain features that show good health. And so, for instance, hair, like shiny hair, any hair, really, men are really, really attracted to it. It's something that goes back to the beginning of time when in caveman days and tribes were wandering and a man needed to pick his woman to bear his child, he would literally judge her based on things like her hair. So when you're with a man and you want to get his attention and you want to be memorable, do that little hair twist, not like for hours, you know, flip your hair a little bit. It works. Flip your hair and show your neck a little bit, and that really, really works. Simple things. Simple things. We could do hours on body language, but for now, I just want you to know those simple things, okay? It's important. And then the last thing, or no, I'm sorry, it's not the last thing. On page 8, close in a bold and specific way. Really, really, really important. And Jonathan and also these gentlemen, I was at this conference for the last 4 days, these gentlemen absolutely confirmed this too. Show your interest. Show your interest. Okay? Just like I talked about earlier. So it's show your interest and don't take the lead. And that's when I say close in a bold and specific way. That means at the end of the date, if it hasn't been decided yet, if you haven't talked about whether you're enjoying yourself and do you want to do it again, I want you to bring it up. I want you to say something like, you know, Bob, I had a really nice evening with you. I would love to do it again. Write that down. I had a really nice evening with you. I would love to do it again. I had fun. It'd be great to do it again. Thank you so much. I look forward to doing it again. This is different than, let's go out again, how about Friday night, right? That's taking the lead. But showing interest, you're saying to him, if you ask me, I'll say yes. Which, like, Jonathan, like, almost had an orgasm when I was talking about this because he's like, oh, my God, if a woman did that to me, I would just love her. Like, no woman ever does that. It makes it so hard. We always think we're in the maybe category. So they're always wondering if they're going to get rejected. Let him know he's not going to get rejected. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary. But, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, like Chris was talking about, new experiences create new truth. Have a little bit of courage. Put yourself out there a little bit, just like Chris said she was doing with her, you know, being more feminine and vulnerable. And you will see positive results. And if you put that out there and he doesn't ask, so what? If you go, it was really nice, it would be great to do it again sometime, and he went, oh, yeah, that would be great, which is obligatory, and then you never hear from him again, what have you lost? You don't know the guy that well. It's a first date. He just knows something about himself that knows you're not a good match. He's doing you a favor, and you could be really, really proud of yourself because you're not going home wondering if he knew you were interested. I hear that from so many of my private coaching clients because we debrief dates together, right? After dates, you know, we talk about it and we talk about what he said, what she said, and body language and, you know, sort of like the progression of the relationship. And I've heard so many times he's never called and I ask, well, did he know you were interested? And the answer is like, And if you have to pause, you didn't do the work. You didn't do what I've taught you. Let him know you're interested. And lastly, if you're not interested, that's okay. You have a choice. It's up to you. You get to say no thank you. So let's say you're using my teaching and you're using Nuggets and you're getting to know him and you're being open and you're being vulnerable and, you know, you're flipping your hair a little. And maybe by the end of the day, you're like, you know what, I just learned something that's a deal breaker. Nah, not going to do it. And he asks you out again. It's okay to say, you know, Bob, I had a really nice time, but I just don't see us as a good match. That's it. But thanks anyway. I want you to know Bob will live. Bob will live. When you say no to a man, especially when you're like on a first or second date, remember this is about getting past those first dates. It's okay. Guys are so much better at this than us. Some of them aren't. Every once in a while you get a guy who freaks out. But you still have a right to say no, and you have an obligation to yourself to say no when it's a definite no. Because I don't want you wasting energy on dealing with a man who, I have a client right now who's dated this guy several times. She's 68 years old, ladies, by the way, and her name's Anne, and she has been online she had bad relationships and marriage, and anyway, she's been online and has had bad results. And I've been working with her on her online dating, and we did a new profile, and I went man shopping with her, and you know, I help her pick men, and I help her write emails, and she's been going on tons of dates with really nice guys. She met a man. They were on there, I think it was the third date. Really liked him. Wasn't anything like the man she would have picked, by the way. And he mentioned that he has guns. And in fact, he has several guns, including assault weapons. And for Anne, that's a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker. So if something like that comes up, and by the way, before she like cut it off, she actually said to them, because they were on the third date, I just want you to know this about me. I'm really uncomfortable. In fact, I'm like anti-gun. I just don't want to be around guns. If we kept seeing each other, would it even be a possibility for you not to have guns? Would that be able to work for you? And the last I talked to her, he was thinking about it. He said, that's a hard question to answer. Fair, right? Grown up. A hard question to answer. So I don't know. I don't think she'll keep seeing it because I doubt the guy's going to go, yeah, I'm going to get rid of my guns for you because it's important to him. But when you cross a deal breaker, it's incumbent upon you to say no for you and for him. And don't worry about him. He'll be fine. You're fabulous, but he'll be fine. Okay? You're fabulous, but he'll be fine. So let's go ahead and look at page 9 in your guide because this is really, really, really important. And then we're going to get to some questions. So tonight, you know, we talked about, you know, how to be memorable. And probably there's a lot of stuff here, right? I've given you some scripts. I've given you, you know, your becauses and whys, you know, your bushel basket, how to talk about those hard things, your prepared statements, all those things. But there's more. There's, you know, more work for you to do. And so what I want to do is I want to get you started on creating a plan for yourself for the next 60 days. What is your plan for the next 60 days? Because this stuff takes time. It's just like Darcy. You know, I appreciate that Darcy, when I asked her, you know, has this been great? And she went, well, it's good, but I'm still not there. I appreciate that. I mean, I want you guys to all go, oh, my God, it was amazing. In 3 weeks, you changed my life. In 4 weeks. And for some of you, that'll happen. But there's, for most of you, almost probably all of you, there's some more work to do. So what are you going to do in the next 60 days? First of all, how are you going to meet more single men? If you are, some of you are meeting a lot of men but not meeting men you like, or some of you are meeting no one, how are you going to meet more good single men? If you're meeting a bunch of men and not meeting anyone you like Karen was, believe me, the work that you did with recalibrating your picker, just like we talked about, earlier, which was really, really important, the work that Kelly was doing, that's going to help you. But I want you to look at how you're going to meet more single men. Are you going to get online? And by the way, I'm going to have a course on online dating coming up that I'll tell you about soon. Are you going to get online, or are you going to do it differently if you're already online and it's not working? Are you going to ask people, make sure you tell people you're interested and want to meet people? Are you going to join some kind of singles club or go to meetup.com? You should all know meetup.com and look for opportunities, not just to meet men, but even women. Get out, have more fun. How are you going to meet more single men? I'm going to post something on the page for you that gives you some ideas. Some things I talked about, but then giving you some more ideas. Okay? How are you going to meet more single men? And how are you going to learn from every date? How are you going to, maybe it's your mindset, you know, it's what you're, maybe it's reviewing the work that we've done in boot camp again, which is kind of redundant, right, reviewing again. Reviewing the work that we've done in boot camp. I mean, I've set you up with a really good foundation to look at dates in a positive way and learn from every single experience you have, not just on dates but with men. Not just on dates, but with men. How are you going to learn from every date? Because every date is positive, even if he turns out to be some schlump that you never want to see again. So that may mean really looking at your key number one, right? Managing your expectations, setting it up to be positive, doing your homework in advance, getting your, you know, remembering who you're meeting and thinking some things to ask them. How are you going to learn from every date? Maybe what you can do is every date you go on, write three things you want to, you know, two or three things you want to learn about him. Or two or three things you want to share about yourself and see how he responds, because that's how you learn about him. How are you going to learn from every date? And by the way, you're going to have a chance to work with your planet with me, so I hope you're doing this. How are you going to keep learning about yourself and about men? So I showed you some really important things about yourself when we looked at what you love about your grown-up sexy self, you know, really getting to know yourself as a woman and embracing yourself as a woman, and then learning about what the men you want really want, which, by the way, is you. If you show up as you, that's who they want. So what is your plan to keep learning about yourself and men? The link I gave you to Alison Armstrong's work, I highly recommend it. Going to my website, I've got over 100 articles on my website. I've got my ebook that'll help you just with my story and how and what I did and the skills that I realized I had but was not applying to dating. I've got Grown Up Girls Night Out. I hope you all know that. If you don't, if you're not part of my Grown Up Girls Night Out, I want you to go to datelikeagrownup.com/GGNO for Grown Up Girls Night Out and sign up. It's free. There's tons. There's people like Jonathan. There's other coaches. There's books. There's so many ways you can just keep learning about yourself and men. And that's an important part, like I said at the very beginning of boot camp, it's a very important part of how to get out of first date hell and really start dating to find love. Starts with you. And then lastly, just how are you going to stay optimistic? How are you going to stay in the game? How are you going to stay positive? And that is choosing. Remember, I talked last week about your choices. You know, choosing to be open-minded, choosing to get the best out of every single date. Choosing to do the work. It's in your session 3 support guide on page 5. Maybe it's putting stickies up. Maybe it's putting stickies up, reminding yourself how fabulous you are. Maybe it's putting stickies up, reminding yourself that dating is a bunch of no's till you get to that one really fabulous yes. But what are you going to do to set yourself up to stay positive and optimistic? because when you get bitter or scared or not trusting or you're on a mission, you're going to go on first dates for the rest of your life. If that's how you show up, you're going to keep getting first dates and first dates and first dates. And if you get more, it's not with the right guy. I know you know that now. So I'm going to open up for a few questions, and then I'm going to share with you what I have in store for you, which I'm really excited about. So if you do have questions for me, go ahead and star 6, please. We did have some really, really good questions and good shares during our session tonight. I want you to go ahead and star 6 if you want to share an aha, if you want me to help you with a prepared statement, if you want me to help you with managing conversation. Ladies, you're so, you know, I'm looking at all of you on the call and you're just quiet. Anyone? Nothing I can help you with? Okay. Hi there, it always takes me asking like 5 times and then there you all are. Hi, you're unmuted.
This is Chris again. My question is that I was in a long-term relationship for many years, but we were not married. And he did pass away 2 years ago and, you know, went through all that. But my question is that my next relationship, I do look to seek to be married and not necessarily in another long-term relationship. So how do I handle that?
You literally, you just tell him you want to get married.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding. I told Larry that like within 10 minutes of our first date. That's a long story. I'll tell you another time. But what you want to say is, and maybe it's like the second date.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say the same thing. There's formulas I'm teaching you all. You want to say the same thing. You know, Bob, I'm enjoying getting to know you. I want to let you know that for me, my next relationship, I want it to lead to marriage. And I just want you to know that about me.
Okay.
That's it. Then shut up. He'll go, oh, okay. Or he'll go, yeah, that ain't going to work for me. Or, you know.
Right.
Okay. Yes, that is.
Okay. I just wonder, you know, when you're in a long-term relationship and you don't get married, you know, that they might be thinking, well, why do you want to get married now when you didn't before, you know,
Because you do.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a really good question. Thanks for asking that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, sweetie. Okay, Maria.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi there. I have a question. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. I sure can, and I'm glad you're asking. Go ahead.
Yay. So here's my question. I had a actually got together with a former colleague. I hadn't seen him in 15 years, and we got together for dinner on Friday night, and actually we were both, I could feel that sort of dating energy in the in the evening, and we are actually going out on Saturday. But the question I have is this. When I stepped out of the car and I saw him for the first time in 15 years, he has gained a significant amount of weight. And, I mean, it's more than just a little. But anyway, the point is that as the evening progressed, I do feel, a connection. But when he looked at me and we smiled and he said, "You look wonderful." And then I said, "It's so nice to see you." And then he kind of grimaced a little bit and he goes, "Yeah, I've lost a bit of hair and I've gained some weight." And I would like to ask you, at what point, of course, I like how I handled it in the moment, but it is an issue. And if we continue to, how do I begin if I want to eventually express that, yeah, it does bother me a little bit. I'm prepared to continue to see you, and, you know, I'm not going to say exactly that, but I want to see him. I'm looking forward to seeing him, and at the same time, I'm on the fence about the physical.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on that? And yeah.
Yeah, good question. So first thing I would say is that I want you to just spend a little more time with him and stay in your feelings.
Uh-huh.
Okay? and really focus on your feelings. And you know, that weight thing is a little bit of a list of old list stuff. I'm not saying you should be with someone you're not attracted to.
Right.
But stay
well,
with your feelings.
Yeah.
Right. Stay with your feelings and just try to be in the moment and stay with your feelings and not worry about that. Because
mm-hmm.
it's possible that you adore him so much it's okay. However, if and then after another date or two, if it's not, it's kind of, you know, it's not a third date rule. I keep saying third date. But if you're really, really digging him but you can't get past it, then I would be honest with him. I would say, you know, I'm so enjoying getting to know you again and, you know, just do your positive, like really sincere.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be honest. I have to be honest. I think that I'm having trouble with your weight. I'm having trouble with being attracted because of your weight. And I know that's a really scary thing to say. But it's either that or dump them, right?
Right. I like what your approach is. I like see how it goes, and then on date three, if I'm finding it being something that is a stumbling block, I will find a gentle way of. I like how you've expressed it, and I think I can do that. And I don't think he'll be surprised. And I'm open to, you know, changing my whole, you know, old formula. And I'm looking forward to date number two, which is coming up on Saturday.
Nice.
So we'll just take it a date at a time. So thanks.
Very nice. You know, that's wonderful. And really, all three of those women, by the way, on the, you know, that I talked about earlier, every single one of them will tell you the guys they're with are nothing like they expected a guy they'd be with physically.
Okay.
None of them. So be open to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And have fun. Let me know how it goes.
Woohoo! I will.
Thanks, Maria. Okay. Kelly, real quick, what's your question?
Hi, Bobby. It's Kelly again.
Hi, Kelly.
And one of my love languages, and it's my primary one, is quality time. And I'm not talking about mm-hmm. a guy just, you know, being around all the time, but just kind of checking in once in a while. So when I encounter these guys that are a little older who, you know, don't kind of reach out, I'd like to kind of communicate with them that I think they don't like me if they're not contacting me. And so, you know, that's, I'd like kind of a script around that.
Yeah. And so is this like, you know, once you've seen them a couple times or, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so is it kind of like you don't want to go just like a date a week and not hear from him during the week or sort of quantify it for me?
Right. So it's different. You know, early on, just check, you know, maybe a text or a call on, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday to say, hey, let's go out or, you know, kind of setting things up and giving me a little bit of notice. And then,
sure.
And I'm not one of the rules girls. I just kind of have a pretty busy schedule. So, and then, you know, just kind of as the relationship progresses along, then, you know, like if he's on a trip, I want to hear from him once a day and, you know, just.
Okay.
Yeah,
perfect.
Like,
okay. Sorry to cut you off, but it's such a good question. Okay. So, I always end up going a few minutes over in time, but you guys are just awesome. Okay. First of all, remember I talked about sort of the formula of asking for what you want, right? So you say something nice, you ask for what you want or need, and then you check in with them, right? Take the demand away. So this is another component of that. When you ask for what you want and need, the more you have to be succinct, like no stories. And the more specific you can be with men, the better. Men will tell you that they're really, really simple, right? I mean, men will like laughingly say, we are like really simple. Just tell us what you want and we'll probably do it. And so if a guy cares at all about you, he'll do it. But it's important to tell him what you want. You can't just say, I want you to be more in touch with me. Like you did that with me and I'm like, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
your script is something like, you know, Bob, at the very beginning, you know, Bob, I'm really glad I've met you and I'm looking forward to going out with you. I have a really busy schedule, and I want to make sure that I have time to see you. So it'll make me really happy if you could give me a few days' notice when you want to go out. Will that work for you?
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and you're going to ask him, will that work for you? You're going to be very, very specific. And you want to say, I'm busy, but I want to make time for you. So you're not just going, I want you to call me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, you're just going to say, wow, Bob, this is great. I'm loving dating you. I mean, you're great. You're this, you're that. I love this. I like this about you. I love this about you, whatever. For me, it makes me feel really good to have some communication, a little more communication than we're having. So would it work for you to, you know, call me when you're on your business trips or text with me or whatever? Be specific. Will it work for you? Can we work that out? Right? That's all. He's going to say yes or no.
I love it. Thank you.
Be direct with what you want, ladies. Thanks, Kelly. That was a really good question. I got one more, and then we'll wrap up. Be really direct. This is the grown-up thing, ladies, and the men want this. And when you ask, he has an opportunity to – he can say yes or no. And if he says no, that's okay. You need to be ready for the no and what you're going to do about it. So if he says no – and no, I'm sorry, like I can't give you notice for dates, then you have to decide, well, is that going to work for me or not? And probably if you're being honest with yourself and you're doing the work you did in this boot camp, right, you're thinking about your feelings and wanting to feel safe and wanting to feel valued and special, that's not going to work for you. Or if it's your love language. So say that's okay. If that doesn't work for you, that's okay, but I, you know, it just won't work for me to date you. And then you don't waste time with each other. You don't get into 6 months of being miserable because he never communicates with you, and you're stuck. Okay, we got one more question.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi there.
I was hoping that you were going to help us with the fact that my picker is broken because I'm not really having a hard time. I'm not really having a hard time on dates. I'm having a hard time deciding whether I should keep dating them or whether I should break up with them, and I don't know. I just find that all hard. And, you know, also, if you should date more than one person at a time.
Yes, you should. If you have the energy and the time, I think you definitely should date more than one person, because when you're dating just one, they have a lot of importance. So if you can do that, I think yes. In answer to
it
your
seems
other
like
question.
Men. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. What men want isn't important at the beginning, and I don't mean that by like it's all about you, but it's just like we talked about at the beginning. This is about you and what you need and taking care of yourself. And so if you feel like for you it works better, any man that expects you not to be dating someone else on your first or second date or is not – it's not realistic. I mean, it's not fair. It's not there. It's a flat. It's controlling. Too fat.
Okay.
So you decide what's best for you, and then do that. And in terms of your picker, and I know I'm just buzzing through this, you know, the work that we did with your getting past your list, with recalibrating your picker, is, you know, because of the time constraint that we have in this course, is a fraction of what I do when I work, you know, privately with clients. But it's a really, I pulled out the most, you know, critical part of it. How to make a decision about whether you want to see someone again is literally about going back to the work you did in session one and session two of this course. What you love about yourself, look at that and say, just, and this is based on what you know so far, am I that woman? Can I be that woman with that man? And what I love about my life, does it seem like potentially I can keep having that in my life? And then how am I feeling with him? The work you did in session two. Am I feeling safe? Am I feeling understood? You know, and remember that piece of the work that said, here's what it looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Is he showing up in a way that's either making you feel that way or has potential to make you feel that way? That recalibrating your picker work is exactly to help you like get out of that kind of using intuition and like, what do I do and how do I make this decision? you gave yourself by doing that work some very specific criteria by which to make a balanced decision. Does that make sense?
It does. It seems like I know what I want, but I'm not attracted to it when I get it.
Well, then it's about really, you know, I get the idea that guys can make you feel special and they can, you know, make you feel valued and you have no attraction to him. But it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing that we just talked about. You know, the idea that, you know, like Maria with this guy's weight, give yourself enough time and be open enough to really feel those feelings. And it's also like, we talked about this earlier, I think it was Kelly, the idea that feeling this guy, like being nice to her and doing those things for her was like pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not attracted on the third date, you're not attractive. It's not going to happen. By the way, they did a study, and 35% of people in the study said they were not initially physically attracted to their current mates. 35%.
Yeah,
a lot of
people. I really am often not attracted initially, but
right.
I don't know. I'm just really having a hard time. I'm having a hard time with that, and I think maybe I'm just worried that I'm kicking too many aside. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what happens. So this is kind of a bigger. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you in a minute about what's next, and we might have more opportunity to talk about this. But I really, really want you to go back to those two lessons, to especially session two, and really focus on those feelings and doing that work. What does it look like? And if you're feeling those feelings or the potential for it, I want you to really be open to getting to know him through at least two, if not three dates. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
And we'll continue to work on this. Thank you. Those are really good questions. Okay, so I'm going to zip through this because I know we're running late. I just wanted to tell you all that I can't let you go is basically what I'm going to tell you. So what I'm going to do, and this is just for the live, those of you that are participating live, the plan that you have in your guide, the plan that we, you know, that I sort of walked through with you, in your guide on page 9, I'm welcoming you to send me your work on that plan before next Tuesday. So today is October 14th. So if you send that to me by October 21st, then I will be so happy to give you feedback on your plan. Give you feedback on your plan if you get it to me by the 21st. So that's one thing I want to offer you. And then the second thing is, because this going forward with this work is really important. You've only been with me 4 weeks. That's it. So it's up to you what you're going to do next, right? How are you going to keep making positive? How are you going to learn? How are you going to keep growing? The other thing is for those, and especially for those of you doing the home study who are listening to this on recording, have you done the work? If you're like me, you like file it away and don't listen to it. So the second thing I want to offer you is I'm going to actually have a Q&A call, another Q&A call to give you all an opportunity to digest all this work in boot camp because it kind of came fast and furious. And on October 30th, that's going to give you a couple weeks, a little more than a couple weeks, I'm going to have a Q&A call where I'm just going to be on the line and answer questions, and you're gonna need to email me your questions in advance. You need to email me the questions in advance and then be on the line. So I'll send this all in an email, but I want to give you an opportunity to practice, do your plan, practice, apply, have new experiences, notice the outcomes, right? And then on October 30th, we'll come back together, and this is for home study and live, and we'll have a Q&A session. I'll answer some more questions for you. So I hope that sounds really good to you. So I will not say, oh, this is session four, we're done. I will say, this is session four of boot camp. You've had, like I said, a lot coming at you. You've all done, I mean, the questions you're asking and the things that your ahas that you shared are fantastic, and you should really congratulate yourself for showing up and doing the work. And I trust that you'll send me your plan, and I will see you on the 30th. And be really, really good to yourself. And that includes giving yourself some time, but also keep continuing to do this forward movement and taking care of yourself this way by doing this work. So good night, ladies. I love you all, and I honor you. You're fantastic. And we'll talk by email. Good night, ladies.